News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Are schools still struggling with absenteeism? Well, Emer Smith and Anna Moya, researchers from the ESRI, join me now to talk about ongoing attendance issues impacting our schools and the role that socioeconomic factors frequently may play. You're both very welcome to the programme. We'll start with you, Anna Moya. Will you tell me about the research that you conducted?
Yes. Hello, good morning. Thank you for having us here. So we conducted research with administrative national records of schools, and we looked at how did absenteeism vary across the population of schools, as well as we also looked at whether schools are recovering or how are schools doing in relation to attendance after the COVID years. And we particularly focus on the chronic absenteeism rate, which is defined as the percentage of students in a given school that are missing 20 or more days of school. And then we also looked at the days lost per student in a given school year. And what we overall find is that it is schools that are serving the most deprived communities that are struggling the most with attendance in both the two outcomes looked at. And it is also the case that we're seeing small improvements after the pandemic, and that also day schools and schools located in higher levels of area level deprivation are also seeing smaller improvements.
Okay, so this is research. Emer, talking about what happened before COVID, how COVID changed things, and whether or not things are reverting back. Will you bring us through that particular time span? What was attendance generally like before COVID, and how did COVID distort all that?
There was an issue with attendance, but difficulties were modest, and we saw a real spike then around the school year 21-22. And it recovered slightly after that for the 2 years we're looking at, 22-23 and 23-24. But what we're seeing is the passage of time isn't solving things. We're seeing only a moderate overall decrease in chronic absence over those 2 years. And we're actually almost masking that picture at school level, because while some schools are improving their attendance, we still see a very significant minority. 30% of primary schools and 40% of post-primary schools have actually increased absence between those 2 years.
Now, the question of what happened during COVID, people were working, doing their schoolwork remotely at home. Often lessons were sent by teachers and they were encouraged to continue working. So it must have been very hard to get a handle on exactly what was happening during COVID. How many people were actually putting in the days that they should put in?
That was hard. So it was very difficult to track. But the figures we're talking about relate to the period when schools were reopened. So we're seeing that a significant group of children are still staying away from school.
Now, will you talk me through those numbers? I mean, a significant staying away from school, particularly during COVID. I mean, people could be sick. I mean, that's what COVID was all about. So getting accurate figures as to what is absenteeism, which is where a child refuses to go to school and where a child can't go to school because they're sick.
Absolutely. But when schools are reopened, we have information on the reason for absence for those who are chronically absent, so more than 20 days a year. At primary level, the most common reason is illness. But a very significant proportion don't have a reason, so it's unexplained. And the dominant reason at post-primary level is unexplained. So there's a lot of absence out there that we're not really sure is caused by illness.
When you say it's unexplained, I mean, who is supposed to get the explanation from a school? I mean, is a teacher supposed to interact with a parent and say, why is Emma or Henry not at school? Is that what is supposed to happen?
The vast majority of schools will have apps to monitor attendance. So the idea is that the parent goes into that app and they report that their child isn't coming to school because they're ill or for medical appointment or for whatever reason.
Now, Anna Moya mentioned the socioeconomic aspects of this. Can you bring us through which schools in which areas and why the absenteeism is more chronic than in other places?
Yes. So along socioeconomic lines, we're looking at day classification. And then we're looking as well as the area level of deprivation. So what we're seeing, and we look, at the at an indicator of socioeconomic deprivation that is called the Povali Index. And what we're seeing is that higher levels of socioeconomic deprivation are consistently and progressively associated with having more absenteeism. And this is over and above the effects of day status. So this means that even non-day schools that will be in areas with higher level of deprivation will also be on average predicted to have some level of struggles.
So, I mean, they're trying to tease out with the DESH school, for example, there are people who might be academically challenged in DESH schools, you know, find it difficult. Maybe they haven't got the background to do a lot of reading or whatever. They're suffering from disadvantage from the moment they enter. But you're saying that irrespective of the status of the school, socioeconomic factors are dominant.
Well, they both have separately an effect, but area level deprivation will also, yes, have an effect separately of the age status.
Now, Emer, the question of what is to be done about it, because there are children who just do not like school. I mean, perhaps nowadays, most kids do like school. In my day, I know that we went to school because we were told to go to school, and that was the end of it. There was no argument. But kids, there are some who say, I am not going to school for whatever reason. What is a parent to do, or is that beyond your remit in the ESRI to kind of suggest remedies?
Well, there are a number of layers of it. The first of all is for parents to kind of find out what the reason is. Is it anxiety? Is it a response to bullying? We do see in the wake of the pandemic an increase in emotional difficulties among young people and a growth in depression rates among girls in particular. So some of this is manifesting itself in school refusal or school avoidance. So it's important to address the underlying causes of that. Unfortunately, it's quite difficult to access supports. There aren't always the referral pathways where children are and young people are really struggling. The second is that schools can do something to make school a more engaging, welcoming place, and a lot have moved a lot in that direction. There's a pilot program going on at the moment by TUSLA called UNSHAW, which is trying to work with schools to develop creative solutions to encourage students to come to school. But finally, we see from, not from these data, but from growing up in Ireland data, we see that socioeconomic factors at the family level are a big barrier to school attendance. And really there, we need to underpin efforts at school level with interventions around child poverty, with supports for child and adolescent mental health and the mental health and addiction of their families. Because obviously schools can't address all of the issues that are barriers to attendance.
Some of the comments coming in on this, is there any study on how many days the teacher is missing? My pair continually tell me that the teacher was not in today. Add in the teacher training days and the school closing down every time there's bad weather, and those days never made up at a later date. So is there any information on teacher absenteeism?
Actually, Pat, no, I don't have that at the moment, but we're embarking with the University of Limerick and Mary Macleod College on a large-scale study of teachers, so we'll be able to get at more about teacher absence and teacher retention.
Another one, the real reasons are neurodiversity and anxiety and unsuitable school environments. It's a can't, not a won't. In other words, the kid's saying, I can't go to school. Not I won't go to school. In other words, they can't bring themselves to go to school. You can't be confused, unexplained, when there is literally no way to record the real reasons. Isn't that the point, that a lot of these reasons for an individual child not going to school can only be found in the home? In other words, talking to the child and trying to understand it. And I suppose statistical research gives you an overview, but it doesn't really get at the root causes.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, communication between home and school is crucial. In DESH schools, so schools serving disadvantaged areas, we have homeschool liaison teachers that do work very closely with families and school completion program staff that do, but they don't exist in all schools. And we certainly, our other research shows that disability is a barrier to school attendance, and we definitely need to know more about how that can be changed.
Some more on Parents Council. I am, says this texter, and we know most schools in our area are blocking access to toilets due to vaping problems. They're blocking the toilets because of antisocial behaviour as well. This means students can't wash their hands or access the toilets as needed. We're noticing a huge increase in illness and bugs circulating and increased absenteeism. All secondary schools in our area are addressing vaping in toilets by blocking access. Parents councils are complaining. So what is a school to do in a situation like that? I mean, it seems unconscionable that you block access to a toilet.
Yes, it does to me. I mean, that does seem absolutely excessive, and there are rights issues there about dignity and respect at school. I don't know the instance. Obviously, I can't comment on it specifically, but that would seem like a very negative trade-off.
Yeah, another one here. There was a lot of grey area after the pandemic about when you were allowed to send a sick child to school. First, we were told not to send them in sick, and now not enough info out there about how sick you must be not to attend. Do you think that is confusing? You know, we're now being told in the workplace, for example, if you're sniffling at all, don't bring it into your colleagues. And yet, I mean, classrooms from my memory would have been full of coughs and sneezes and snifflings and all the rest. Otherwise, sure, we might as well have shut down if every time there was a sniffle.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the early phase there was some confusion. I mean, I think now the advice is if it's a mild cold or and so on, that shouldn't be an impediment to being sent to school.
A final one for the moment. Lazy parents are responsible for the lack of attendance at primary level. School has never been so much fun and so enjoyable. Stop making excuses for poor parenting. And really, it's hard to find that in a survey, isn't it?
It's hard to find that in the survey, but I don't think it's fair. I think sometimes parents themselves are struggling, and calling them lazy when they themselves are facing significant barriers around their own mental health or addiction issues or real deprivation. I think, you know, lazy is not an appropriate response.
Eimear, thank you very much for joining us. Eimear Smith, Research Professor at the SRI, and Anna Moya, Research Assistant at the SRI. Thank you both very much. Now,
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.